Well, it's become an international sensation, but nearly 15 years ago, the play Kim's Convenience made a debut at the Toronto Fringe Festival. Ince Choi's personal tale of family, community, and immigration quickly found its way to Soulpepper Theatre a year following. It was a huge hit, the most commercially successful project for the Toronto institution. It toured Canada, it played off-Broadway, it became a hit sitcom for television and streaming. The story of the family-run, Korean-owned convenience store in Toronto's Regent Park neighborhood is back, once again directed by Waning Mageisha, the talented creative who's been artistic director with Soulpepper for the last 7 years. Opening night was last week, soulpepper.ca for tickets. Now, what's different this time around is that playwright Ince Choi will be playing the lead character, Appa, Mr. Kim, stepping into the shoes of the brilliant Paul Sun-Hyung Lee. Esther Chung is on stage with Ince Choi as Uma, Mrs. Kim, and she's been featured in a variety of stage works, film and television, born in South Korea and raised in Thornhill. Both join us right here in the New Classical FM studio. Great to have you both here.
Oh, great
to be here.
Very, very good. So we're back to Kim's Convenience. What a run it's been. But first of all, congratulations. I mean, just unbelievable.
Thanks.
Yeah. What's a Kim bit, by the way?
I think Timbits are fans of the TV show.
Okay.
Like Timbits, but with a K.
But with a K, yeah. Do you guys feel that mania? Do you feel that that's reverberated around the culture? Does that feel like a real thing?
I think I can speak to this as being a Kimbit because I was a fan of the show before I got to participate on stage in this show. So, yeah, I think it's a real thing.
Yeah.
There's a real love.
What is it about it that creates that kind of a fever for it? Is it that sense of being seen? Is it that sense of a different story being told? Is it the sense of the hilarity of it, the heart of it? What is it?
I mean, it's all of those things, right? I think for me and my family, it's really seeing our experiences represented, you know, and finally being able to see faces like mine, like on screen. It's really compelling.
It is compelling. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, this show is no different than any other great play in that I think it will be mounted again and again. And you'll be an older man yet in Troy while that's happening. But, you know, reading the synopsis once again here in 2025, it does feel like there's more than enough room in the culture right now for this play to find fresh relevance and a brand new set of audience members. I mean, was that sort of the thinking in doing it again, or was it, let's just do it again?
Yeah, it was just a variety of reasons that kind of fell into place. Waney being the artistic director of Soulpepper, they're interested in it.
And she was with you at the beginning of this thing, right?
Yeah. So it was great to reunite with her, but in a different role. I don't know. She's like the best director in the world.
Why is that? Why is she so good at what she does?
She is unrelenting.
Okay.
In pursuit of excellence from and for her actors and pursuing clarity on behalf of the audience so that the audience can relish every moment and get every moment. And they do. And it's a lot of her eyes and her ears.
Well, they're certainly immersed. I mean, that was my first experience seeing this show ages ago. I don't know about you, Esther, but that idea, you get into that Soulpepper Theater and it really does feel like you're in a convenience store. It's kind of incredible how well that was crafted in the first place just to put us there. I don't know if you can speak to that at all, but it was, for me, it felt really, really strong.
Yeah, and first time. Even in this production, Joanna Yu is a set designer.
Right.
And she does an incredible job, like, people are just raving about the set. Everything's worn the way it should be worn in an old convenience store. Even Peter Huang, who owns Bob's Convenience, that it was based on.
Right.
I got inspiration from him. He came last night.
And lots of pictures taken in front of that place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, wow. He was impressed that it looks so real.
That's
and
so cool.
You know, how everything's set up, so.
It's interesting. I want to remind people, by the way, it is Kim's Convenience, and it's going to be on stage through early March at Soulpepper, soulpepper.ca. And Esther Chung is here. Ince Choi is here. I'm curious about this. Is it tempting at this point to tinker with the script with all that's happened culturally, with all that's happened with the show sort of dreamed outside of the parameters that you originally imagined with the TV show and so on, multiple stagings, all the places it's been. I mean, where do you stand on that? Do you sort of say, oh, we need to update this or a little, or let's just leave it as a document?
For the most part, it's the same. But we have tinkered a little bit. times have changed. And so there are some areas that we messed a little bit with. I'm of the opinion, like, you know, Shakespeare or any kind of classical play, that it can be updated, adapted. It's not a novel. I feel like fiction or, you know, a book is a book. Yeah. But a play is on stage.
That's right.
I mean, there is the play and in a book form, but it doesn't live there. That's kind of a reflection of what's on stage. And the art of theater is what happens between the audience and the actors that are on stage. So that is where the play happens.
Right.
So it can evolve and adapt and
change. Well, so to your point, I mean, I have friends who've been in the UK recently watching Shakespeare, and you can do a lot with that material. Absolutely. Let's talk about this family, these characters, the two of you, Mr. and Mrs. Kim, Appa, Amma. Esther, I'll turn it to you. I mean, getting to do this and be this character and sort of suffering with this very headstrong man and this, you know, quote unquote patriarch of the family. Tell me about stepping into this role and what it's been like for you.
Oh, it's been really amazing and emotional and like a dream come true. It's only been a pleasure. I mean, digging into the role has been an investigation of my own past.
I bet.
Because my family came over when I was almost three. So it's a lot of our history. It's a lot of our experiences. And it's kind of me rotating through each character. Like, I've been a Janet. I've been a Jung. I've been an Amma. It's been illuminating and educational, for sure.
Preparing for this role, I mean, that must have reminded you of just some of the people in your life and some of the hardship that happened.
You know? Yeah. And the cast and everybody else can attest, like, I pretty much cried every single verse.
There it is, right there. It's kind of, there's my life a little bit, right?
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. And I mean, I'm so grateful for it, but it's like, I just want to be professional. But then also, it is extremely, extraordinarily personal.
I speak to different actors from time to time, and the role is so challenging, and you've got to go to all these different emotional places. And some have that story, right? Where it's like, okay, I was kind of there, whether it was me or the role I was playing, I was there emotionally. And then others tell me, nope. I walk back into the dressing room and it's like it never happened. So I guess there's a couple different ways of doing this. You know?
I mean, it can be all those things too,
sure.
Right? Like when I'm in it, I'm in it. I think there's a point when you get off stage, we can just, oh, I've done it. And I'm so proud and I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. I'm so all of the emotions about it.
Inns, I'll turn to you on the story of Appa, Mr. Kim. I mean, a pretty memorable role, certainly, when Paul did it originally, and he's gone off to Star Wars and all sorts of things. Pretty amazing career. He was in here back in those early days. And I don't know if I ever imagined you doing this. And I don't know where your head was at with that.
When I originally wrote the play, there was a version where it was a two-hander, two actors.
Okay,
so
wow.
I would play Appa and Jung, and a female actor would play Amma and Janet.
Yeah.
It was a bit more experimental, but I don't know, maybe it lasted for 6 months. So even in the early days, I had anticipated one day that I would play Appa. And then I got old.
Right.
And I I didn't have to dye my hair.
Right.
Didn't have no special effects here. Just it's all natural talent.
Yeah, it just happened for you.
But so it's been great to be able to realize that.
Well, for people who know the role and the series and so on, I mean, he's kind of a curmudgeon. He's dealt with, obviously, a lot in his life. He's dealing with the public all the time. He's got the pride in his family. He's this mirror to our society to some degree. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of humor with him. So that's a tough role, and I would imagine, anyway, that's a tough situation to walk into because Paul's been so definitive with what he's done with it, and so you now, but I dreamed up the thing in the first place, and so are there really different performance choices for you, or how are you handling that?
My references are it's not really my dad, but it's more my uncles.
Okay.
All these Korean men that I saw, like my best friend's parents who all own convenience stores, and kind of like the ajoshis at church when growing up, all these older men who I feel like, because of the lack of English, their store was their kingdom, mm-hmm. and they ran it like their home, inviting guests. I kind of feel like it is kind of like that because, you know, they lived upstairs usually. And so it was an extension of their house.
Yeah.
So the store was like inviting people into their home. And so that's kind of where I draw from. But I've had the pleasure of watching other productions in the U.S.
How many people have played Appa at this point, do you figure?
Oh, maybe five.
Okay, right. That's maybe a lot of APAs. Yeah, sure. APAs. So this is just yet another one, and it's coming from you. Do you feel like there's something truer to your original vision now that you're getting to actually step into that role?
No, I think, like, Paul is awesome.
He was.
And he was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, even before the TV show, just even from the Fringe Festival.
Sweet guy,
even
too.
From the workshops.
Like, yeah.
Like, before it was even completed, he was so generous with his time and his comments and him, you know. So I just feel like I'm another APA.
Okay.
Hopefully, there will be hundreds of more APAs.
I would imagine that will be the case.
2075, there will be another APA.
It's just been a pleasure to speak to you both, and I want to wish you success with this next month, and I know the audiences are going to be there for you, so thank you for being here.
Thank you so
welcome.
Much for having me.
Thanks.
In Troy, it's Esther Chung and the leads, APA and AMA, Mr. and Mrs. Kim, on stage right now, soulpepper.ca. Or tickets. You're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM, our look at arts and culture.